This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you. We have been talking about seeing the overflow in our lives. How many believe in that you're going to see the overflow this year? I don't know about you, but I have such an expectation because God gave us this word on New Year's Eve, and we've just been in this revelation, just kind of soaking in it, just saying, God, what else do you want to say? How do you want to clarify this? How do you want to speak this to us? And so God gave us this scripture along with the vision of overflow. And that's Joshua 24:13. It says, I gave you land you did not labor for and cities you did not build, though you live in them. You are eating from vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. So God wants to give you some things that wouldn't be possible by the natural. In the natural, you wouldn't be able to do it. But supernaturally, God wants to pour some things into your life. And he wants to pour so much that it begins to overflow on those around you. How many believe that God can bless you so good that it's a witness to your unsaved friends? And that's actually the promise that he gave Abraham. He said, I'm going to bless you to be a blessing. And I'm going to bless all the nations of the earth through you. And so we are the seed of Abraham. We have to see how that applies to us in this season and how God wants to overflow off of our life. Earlier on in the series, we talked about how that his desire is not just enough for us or less than enough. It's more than enough. We talked about how he gives a revelation for overflow. Then he gives a specific strategy for our life to overflow. But then we have to make sure that we match that with faith and obedience. That's our part. It's up to us. If we don't do the faith and obedience part, guess what? We don't get the breakthroughs that we're looking for. And so if you missed any of those podcasts, last week we talked about 5 principles for overflow. It was awesome. We talked about feeding the 5,000. God does things in overflow. Jesus, there was never any lack in his ministry. There was always some left over. There was always overflow. And so today I want to talk about Jesus' first public miracle. So if you'll go with me to John chapter 2. John chapter 2, and we're going to look at this miracle of when he turned the water into wine. And so some of you are looking at this wine bottle that's here. No, I'm not going to be drinking wine during the service. And yes, we're still all on the Daniel fast, okay? But go with me to John 2. It says, the next day there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. And Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told them, they have no more wine. Dear woman, that's not our problem, Jesus replied. My time has not yet come. But his mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you. And standing nearby were 6 stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. And each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus told the servants, fill the jars with water. And when the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. So the servants followed his instructions. And when the master of ceremony tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, he called the bridegroom over. A host always serves the best wine first, he said. But when everyone has had a lot to drink, he bring out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best until now. And this miraculous sign in Cana in Galilee is the first time Jesus revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him. So Jesus shows us a miracle of overflow. There was lack. There was no wine, there was a need, and Jesus not only met the need, but he exceeded the need. They just needed wine, any kind of wine, but Jesus went over and above and gave them wine like they'd never tasted before. They were in lack, they would have been happy with Walgreens wine, but he gave them from the private reserve vintage. It's not just a little bit of this wine. A lot of times we don't do this, but this hit me as I was studying this week. 6 jugs, 6 water jugs that each held 20 to 30 gallons. So he turned 150 gallons of water into wine. 150 gallons. That is approximately 757 of these. Can you look at somebody and say, overflow? It's a part of the story that we don't think about. The fact that Jesus not only met the need, he surpassed the need. He gave more than enough. There wasn't any lack when Jesus got done. And so Jesus goes over and above. It's a miracle of overflow. But how does this story start? How does this thing happen? We see what transpired. We see that 150 gallons of wine from 150 gallons of water. But how did this happen? I want to give you four things today. Number one, we have to put a demand. Look at somebody and say, put a demand. Put a demand. You see, there was lack, and then Mary came and asked a great question. Jesus, can you help with this? Has anybody ever leaned on you a little bit, like a relationship? It normally starts with, can you do me a favor? Anybody have some favor people in your life? Not they give you favor, that they ask for favors. So Mary knew how to lean into her relationship with Jesus. See, I think a lot of believers don't know how to put a demand on God and say, I'm putting a demand right now, God, on your word. Your word says this. Your word says that. And I am applying that to my life right now. You see, because a lot of time we lack consistency. Jesus tells us how to pray. Jesus shows us how to put a demand. He said, it's like a woman and an unjust judge. See, the woman, she went every day to the judge, and even though the judge was unjust, he eventually heard her case and gave her justice. Why? Because she put a demand on him. There's something about not slowing down, not giving in until you get what is promised in the Word of God. See, Mary knew what Jesus was capable of because she raised him, and so she began to put a demand on that gift. Do you know that you can put a demand on the Word of God? And this year, if you want to experience the overflow in your life, you have to know how to put a demand. If you don't know, you need to get in the Word. You need to get around some people. You need to let it rub off on you how to put a demand on the Word of God and how to stand on the Word of God and how to put a demand on that relationship that you have with God. I love this song that we just sang. I know who you say I am. That's putting a demand on God to walk in our identity. How about putting a demand on God to walk in the overflow that he's promised you this year? And so Mary puts a demand on God. She puts a demand, and we have to put a demand on him. Don't quit until you get it. Number two, what happens? Obedience. Obedience always seems to play a part in something miraculous happens. Mary tells the servant, do whatever he says. See, the servants would be in a problematic situation too if there wasn't any wine. Because maybe some of them should have made sure that there was enough wine. It was not just the master of ceremonies. It was not just the owner. It was not just the one that was throwing the party. But it was also the servants. But she said, be obedient to what he says. You see, we have to be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit if we want to walk into the overflow in our life this year. We have to be obedient. Even when it doesn't completely make sense, even when it seems a little irrational in the natural, we have to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. There's no miracle without obedience. There's always obedience to get to the miracle. There's no miracle without obedience. So when we want to see the overflow in our lives, we have to be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we're still working out our faith. We're just still figuring some things out. We're just like Abraham. We don't know exactly where we're going, but we have to step out in obedience. Can I tell you, even if you don't have it figured out completely, even if you're still working out your faith and working out the plan, if God says step out, just do it. These servants didn't have any clue what Jesus was doing. They had no theological degree, or they hadn't been studying the messianic prophecies. No. They just knew that they were supposed to be obedient. Sometimes that's all you need. Just be obedient. So we see what's transpiring here. What's transpiring here? Because obedience, his power and your obedience is going to make miracles happen. His power, your obedience is going to make miracles happen. Something in obedience unlocks the harvest. Something in obedience unlocks the overflow. So if we're following this, Mary puts a demand. So putting a demand, right? But then there's also obedience that unlocks the miracle. There's a demand, and then there's obedience. The demand, then obedience. And then Jesus says something really key. This is key. Fill the vessels. Fill the vessels. Just say that with me. Fill the vessels. Number three is God needs a vessel. God needs a vessel. Would you just lift up your hand and say, I'll be a vessel. Don't say it unless you mean it now. See, because if you want God to do miracles in your life, you have to make yourself available. Amen. Where's Francesca? You got to make yourself available. Say, God, I'm available. You can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. I'm available to you. If you want to put something in on the inside of me and pour me out, if you want to pour so much in me that I'm overflowing in this season, God, I'm available to be a vessel. Jesus said, fill the vessels. Fill the vessels. Just say it one more time with me. Fill the vessels. Oh, man. There's something about when we surrender ourselves as a vessel to be used by Jesus. When we give who we are, he can transform our purpose. Now we have to give who we are. We have to surrender who we are. And then when we put our hands in the hands of the put ourselves in the hands of the master, he can transform our purpose. See this now? The purpose of these containers, of these stone jars, was for water. And he transformed their purpose to wine. Now you're not going to contain water. Now you're going to contain wine. He modified their purpose. He upgraded their purpose, right? Because in this story, water was common, right? But then he put something of greater value inside and he changed the purpose. Now he upgraded and he made it more valuable. Look at somebody and say, God's about to make me more valuable. Oh my goodness. God is about to modify your purpose. God is about to make you a little bit more holy, a little bit more set apart for what he's called you to do. God is going to modify your purpose. Some of you thought you knew what you were called to do, but he's about to give you a revelation, and he's about to touch you, and he's about to change your purpose. I hope you get this, because what one touch from the master can change what you're doing for the rest of your life. You could come into the presence of God and say, God, this is who I am, and this is what I'm doing. And he says, guess what? I'm touching you. I'm blessing you. I'm increasing you. And now this is your purpose. There's something about when we submit to the process, how he can transform us into something greater. Oh my gosh. God, give us submitted hearts. God, that we submit to you, that we could be transformed into whatever you need us to be to overflow in this season. Can you just pray that prayer with me? Say, God, I submit my heart that you can use me to overflow on this world that's in need. Oh, come on. If you mean that, God is going to do some things in your life this year, and it's going to blow you away. It's going to blow your mind. It's going to blow your socks off. Our job is to be available. His job is to transform. We don't have to transform ourselves. We partner with him, but it's him that's doing the hard work. He transforms us. We just show up and say, God, I'm available. I'm available. I'm obedient. God, I'm willing for you to do the work in me. A lot of people don't realize this. The Holy Spirit's not just going to come in and kick the door down and make you do stuff. You have to be available. You have to say, I invite you in, Holy Spirit. I want the transformation. And so our job is to be available. His job is to transform. I don't know what everybody's job in the room is to do. Some of you, I know your jobs. I know your occupation in the natural. But your job in the spirit is to be available. Everybody's job in the room, be available. Be available to God. Be a vessel. It's what's inside that increases your value. It's what's inside that increases your value. If you think about it, a canister that holds 25 gallons of water is worth one thing. A canister that holds 25 gallons of choice wine, of the best wine, that's worth something completely different. Hundreds, thousands of dollars. Water, wine. God wants to transform the contents of what's on the inside of you. That you could look like the same person on the outside, but God is doing a work on the inside and transforming your value in this season and giving you greater authority and giving you greater power and giving you greater peace, that when you walk into a circumstance, you're going to have so much peace that it overflows. You're going to walk in and the Spirit of the Lord is going to be upon you, that He's going to give you a spirit of joy instead of mourning. And it's not even going to make sense to other people, but the joy is going to be rubbing off because it's overflowing out of your life. There's going to be some people with needs around you, and God's going to bless you with resources. And God is going to bless you so much that it's easy. The Bible says that we would be able to be generous on every occasion. Imagine God bless you to the point that if there's any notable, worthy cause around you, that you're able to be generous on every occasion. I want God to bless me like that. Anybody want to be blessed like that? That you don't have to say no. If it's something that's notable, if it's something that's honorable, that we could do that. God wants us to overflow. Sometimes we're doing the common, the natural, the normal, and He wants to transform us, upgrade us into something abundant, into something that can overflow. When you overflow, you realize that you have been blessed to be a blessing. All right, fourth thing, the water to wine. Somebody say it, water, water to wine. Before Jesus shows up, there's lack. There's not enough wine. Before Jesus gets involved, there's just water. In this story, water is just common. There's no real value there. Jesus took something common and of little to no value and made it valuable and, listen, timely. God wants to take what is common and of little value in your life and transform it into something valuable. And this water to wine miracle was not just a miracle of increase in value. It was also a miracle of timing. The timing was right. Because now if he'd have done the miracle with the water to wine a week after the wedding, they'd say, well, gee, thanks. This is a lot of wine. We got nobody to drink it. It'd have been great like a week ago when we had like 50, 100 people here. We could have really, you know, not been embarrassed and been better hosts. God wants to not only increase your value, but help you walk into your season. Because there's something about, if you were out at a nice restaurant and you're in your dining, it's fine dining, and somebody brings you water, it may be of value to you. You may want it, you might not want it. But if you've been in the desert for 2 days, that same cup of water, whoo, that's looking pretty good. The difference between being in your season and not being in your season. God wants to not only increase your value, but show you the right time to move. This was big to Jesus because Jesus would always say things like, well, it's not my time, or my time has not yet come, or now is the time, or soon is coming the time that true worshipers are going to do this and do that. Now, it's important to understand timing is important. John Maxwell says timing is everything. And so when we realize God is going to do a work that he not only increases your value and the contents of what's going on in your life, but he is going to lead you into your season. The Holy Spirit is going to show you not just what, he's going to show you when. And when you understand the W-H-E-N, you will get the W-I-N. See, a lot of times we're not winning because we're shooting a miss, right? We're coming in with the right thing at the wrong time. God is about to show you how to come and do the right thing at the right time. God is a miracle-working God, and his miracles always overflow. When he's moving and we're lined up, you know, they used to say, get next to the spout where the glory comes out. You know, it's about lining up with what God is doing in your life. It's about lining up with what God is doing in this season. It's about lining up in obedience, putting a demand, saying, God, I'm available. Not for just enough, not for less than enough, but for more than enough. We serve a God just like that. But first, we have to put a demand. Look at Mary. She put a demand. Look at Jesus' teaching with the woman with the unjust judge. Put a demand. Number two, we have to be obedient. God's going to give some instructions to you as you're going through these 21 days while we're praying and we're fasting. God is going to give you some instructions throughout the year that it might make sense, it might not make sense. Take a step of faith. Take a step of obedience. Obedience always plays a role in the miracle. And number three, we have to be a vessel God can use to make ourselves available, to be flexible, and let God pour something into us, and let God transform the contents of our heart and our lives. God loves his sons and daughters and wants to transform us and make us more valuable, make us into the image of his son. He wants to transform us to where we are the seed of Abraham, blessed to be a blessing. You bow your heads with me today. God, I thank you, Father, for your sons and daughters. It is your good desire. It is your design to bless them, to increase them to the point of overflow. It's not your desire for us to have less than enough, just enough. But God, it's your desire for us to have more than enough so that we can be a blessing to other brothers and sisters, that we can be a blessing to those that are in need, that we can be the hands and feet of Jesus, whether it's resources, whether it's faith, whether it's love, whether it's peace, whether it's joy, whether it's something tangible or it's something intangible. God, let us overflow and abound with every good thing. That's what your word says. I desire that you prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. So I speak that over your people today. And as heads are bowed, maybe you're there and you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with God. I need to reconnect with him. Somehow I drifted away, or I got away from my faith, or I got away from the right faith routines in my life, and I need to reconnect with him. I need to make sure that I'm walking with him. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray for you today. Amen. Amen. The most important decision is when we say yes to Jesus. Whatever it is, whatever chapter, whatever season of our life, when we say yes to Jesus. If you slipped up your hand, I want to pray for you right where you are. And everybody, you can pray this prayer with us. Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for whenever I missed it. I'm sorry for wherever I've sinned. Jesus, help me. Jesus, forgive me. Apply your perfect work of the cross. Apply your sacrifice to my life. Wipe all my sins away. Give me a fresh start today. Help me to walk with you. I need you. I realize that. Be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God the praise today.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.